It's Ask TNA Day, where listeners write in with their questions and we answer them. On today's episode, I can't orgasm with my partner anymore. Should I break up with my new rabbit? Plus, consent. When is she playing? And when does she just mean no?
You're listening to TNA Talk Sex. I'm T.
And I'm A.
Welcome to our 100th episode. Sort of a strange sound.
I don't want to be too loud.
No, that's
blow out your ear. God, I feel so emotional. This woman sitting in front of me to 100 episodes. It's been such a ride.
It's amazing. I mean, that's essentially 2 years of showing up every week to chat with my BFF about all things relationships and sex.
No, I love it.
And the cool part is we now have all you lovely people listening, writing in, talking with us, and it's awesome, actually. It's a complete joy, and I learn and grow from doing this all the
definitely
time.
Yep. So I just want to say thank you to you, T, for being with me on this journey, and to everybody listening, thank you for being here with us. It's been amazing.
Yeah.
On that note, we're going to have a party.
We are.
But we're just in the midst of like T's producing a feature film right now, which she's starring in, and I'm on a script deadline, so things are just manic.
Right.
So we're gonna have to wait to celebrate. But internally, we're really drinking champagne right now. And
I also did try to buy party hats that we were gonna Instagram, which we will do as soon as I find them. But I tell you, I went to two stores. WTF? I don't know what's happening in Los Angeles.
You can't find party hats.
Oh, oy vey. It's okay. I just now a third LA. Store popped into my head that
you know,
think
it's just because we have to go to a prop store.
Yeah.
An official. I don't know.
We're going to make our own where it says 100th episode anniversary. And we're going to wear little headbands.
Can we get boob hats?
Oh, sure. Is that a thing?
I don't know, but there should be.
I'm sure they're online. Okay, cool.
If you have any suggestions on
our Instagram photo
really
shoot,
embarrassing things that we should wear.
Oh yeah,
for our party.
Alrighty. So to check in with everyone, YouTube channel, we have a couple little in bed with videos that are really fun from recent guests we had on.
Mm-hmm. And we're posting new videos, so make sure to just subscribe to our new YouTube channel.
We figured out captioning, so that's going to be a thing on our videos now.
Yay! And then also check out lovetv.co, where our content is also is now being hosted there, and there's some new videos.
Yeah, and they have great intimacy topics.
That's the next bit. They have such great information. So it's lovetv.co. So go check them out as well.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Yeah. Do I get to read?
Yeah. Okay. She's so excited to read.
I was so excited to read everyone's writings. They're such wonderful letters. Okay. So our last advice show, we had a request to talk about cum play, as in semen, and playing with it, and what are the rules, and what's normal.
And can I just say that after we did that episode, I was even more attracted to and like hot about cum. Like, it's been in my fantasies. I'm like, damn it. It's a good thing, I guess.
No, I think it is. I think anytime we talk about certain things on the show, it like elevates it. I remember actually after we did the Cunnilingus show, I ended up having really amazing oral sex with my partner.
See, it happens. And then like literally after we did the show, I was with this man who like, I've never seen anything like it. He had a beautiful penis, but when he came, it was like this and never ending flow of cum that just beautifully poured out of his. It was amazing.
Wow.
And I'm like, wow.
I have to say, I think this show, the like talking about things like this, it just brings awareness. And then when there's awareness, you're more you meditate on it more, you appreciate it more.
Yeah,
and it's awesome.
Yeah. So someone wrote in referring to that episode. So we thought we'd share it with you because it was very interesting.
Okay. Loved the show. It's my favorite part. I just want to tell the story of how I became a cum fan. First off, I'm a 45-year-old man. When I was 13, I learned to masturbate. So I was jerking off and I had not actually cum yet gotten close, but never let it go. I went all in this time and was getting ready to cum. I had my mouth open and boom, I shot the biggest load I had ever had. I have ever had, mostly right in the mouth and all over my face. That was it. Fought it for years, shamefully eating my cum and coming in my face. Even played with other men in my teens and 20s, but always loved women. When I met my wife and knew I would like to marry her, I figured that I would be honest about my cum fetish and have enjoyed cum play in our sex. That's a whole other story. Thanks again. Mm-hmm. I wanted to share it because it's such a great example of like overcoming the shame, and the fact that he over those years did have shame around it, but right. really now his wife and him are having fun with it.
Yeah. And to me, it's really interesting too. Like the, and when I think about like when I first started masturbating, and like I wonder what little peculiarities or things that I, little habits that I started doing right then, it's like it's seared into your brain forever, maybe. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah, I am still
the first
pretty
impressions
much
of like
masturbating the same way.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, interesting. So, but you're right. Yeah. So, thank you for sharing that
yeah.
story.
Well, and I'll say this. If you have a partner who you're afraid to share your cum fetish with
or any fetish.
Desire to play with it, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, in some way, you taking the first step can be the empowering thing for them. It's like they're afraid of being judged or they have anxiety around it.
That's true.
You know, I just have this funny moment of, I remember a partner who had never eaten his own cum, right. like some of my other partners had, which I found really exciting. But anyway, at some point, some of his cum kind of hit my lips a little bit.
Oh, right, yeah.
That was like an accident. It actually was like splatter. And and then I, you know, I think we probably said it on the show, but, you know, and I said, oh, kiss me. And yeah. that was like...
It was the door opener.
Right. He yeah. was like, oh, I've never done that before. I've never actually...
Yeah, but it's like giving them permission to step into...
Right, like I desire it and new. I think it's sexy. Right. So... You know, then you get excited about letting me feel that.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So it's nice. Yes, but on to the real questions.
Here we go.
All right. So this is a big topic about the rabbit vibrator, if anyone's not familiar with just the term rabbit. Okay. Greetings, girls. I cannot say how much I love your podcast. Yeah. Ever since I started listening to it, I've become a completely different woman. Your podcast and your education on sexuality has completely changed my relationship. I remember listening.
There's a question in here somewhere.
Yeah, this is a longer letter. Stay with us. I remember listening to an episode on orgasm or masturbation, and one of you girls said when you got your first rabbit, you had an orgasm within literally seconds. That's me.
That was her.
Yes,
T. That's T.
In college. After I lost my virginity. After I heard that, I ordered my first one, and sure enough, it was awesome. Since then, I've bought 3 different ones, and I need to at least masturbate 3 times a week. As great as this sounds, and as much as it is a stress reliever, I have a partner of 10 years, and the sex life with him is different in a bad way. It's been a month and a half now, and after a while, I noticed it was taking longer and longer for me to orgasm with my rabbit, but eventually I would. I have even learned to be relaxed enough to be able to ejaculate after listening to your female ejaculation episode. My problem is, or my question is it possible to not be pleasured by your partner anymore? Before I began masturbating as an adult, I wanted to have sex almost every night, and I would have an orgasm within minutes. I've never been able to have multiple orgasms until I started masturbating. Now that I masturbate, I can never have an orgasm with my partner, no matter how or what position we try, and eventually he comes. It really sucks because I have to lie to him, and part of me thinks he doesn't know I am lying, but also part of me thinks he does because it's so obvious that I did not get to my max point of climax. Do you girls advise I break up with my rabbit? Is it possible that I've become so used to the vibrating stimulation as well as the penetration that that now I can't have an orgasm without toys when I am with my partner? That was a loaded...
But you needed all the context. Okay.
Yeah.
So first of all, it's slightly unfortunate that, cause I feel like whenever when we have done the shows about toys and when we go in depth, more in depth in it, we do always, I'm always careful to say this because I feel like I am sensitive to being, becoming dependent on a vibrator.
Overstimulated.
And I know T has a different experience with toys, but so I'm always like, no, be careful, use with caution. And when we did the episode with Jean Franzblau on, you know, she mentioned the same thing, that it can happen, right, that you become desensitized and, you know, your body gets used to, I mean, vibration, it's a very powerful and different kind of stimulation.
But importantly, Jean notes, you know, by easing off of it, you go back to normal.
You do totally. Yeah, no, yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's not the end of the world.
It's not like a permanent
broken shift.
Yeah. So I would advise going like cold turkey, totally pull away and go back to normal, normal, quote unquote, like your regular, the baseline you were at before, get back in touch with skin to skin contact and stimulation. Because that's what I like. I noticed that if I'm using a vibrator for a while, and then I, or even in the same session, then I go and I use my hand, it's just, it's like inert.
It's a little numb.
Right. Yeah.
In the same day, though.
Yes, but even at, yes, in the same day, sure. But even after, like that's, and that's my indicator that I'm like, okay, back off. And then I won't even masturbate for a little bit, and then I'll only use my hands for a while. And
right,
then,
recharging a little bit. Like,
right,
if you
and
go
then
on
every
vacation,
now and then use the vibrator.
Right, I was going to say, if you have time apart from your partner, in general, you're excited again to see them, or you come more easily because you're excited.
Right.
Yeah, you know, something that you just hit on, I do find that, you're right, if I masturbate that morning and I come 3 times in a row.
Masturbate with your hand or the vibrator?
Oh, with a toy. Uh-huh. Yeah, I pretty much only actually masturbate with a vibrating toy.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
I rarely do.
I don't do it without.
It's like a little treat.
Mm. It is for me. It is a treat for me all the time. Yeah. So I use it all the time, but I have to agree that if I think I'm going to be having sex that night with a partner, mm-hmm. I'm like, well, yeah, maybe I won't make myself come 3 times. And I would say that comes down to how much energy you have. I mean, in a day, like, it's not that
like
you can't.
Your own sexual energy.
Right.
In your own body.
Yeah. And for me, it's like, well, I don't need to come 5 times. You know, sometimes I'll have like a surge of sexual energy. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I don't know. I'm like, I am like a rabbit, you know, and it's like, right. Well, I'm going to have sex with you. I'm gonna fuck
yeah, that's
my
true,
toy,
true. If I'm having sex regularly, I'll like save myself, kind of, you know, and let that sexual energy build.
Right. So I think that can be a helpful thought. Like,
yes,
oh, if you're going to have sex, I mean, obviously sometimes you don't always know. And if you're feeling really hot in that moment, I would also say, I'm sure there is like a threshold of excitement at the beginning of having these toys. That maybe
That's
is okay.
True.
Like, you know, it's cool that you're really excited about the toy. And I have to say that, you know, once I got over like this shock value of it being like, wow, that was mind blowing, you know, it started to be like more normal. And also,
and this has been a month and a half since she's been experimenting.
Yeah.
With this, so it's still new.
Yeah, exactly. So I would say maybe don't panic,
right.
But I can understand that change can be scary. I think it sounds pretty cool what she's discovered.
Well, but also, because
she's really pushing her limits.
Yes, and she mentioned that now that she's masturbating as an adult, she can have multiple orgasms.
Yeah.
I think that sounds like a really cool awakening or, shift. But now it's about finding different ways to make that happen now that you've opened up, right?
I agree. I was thinking that exactly, which is, rather than maybe running away from it, which I would say is if you want to make sure that everything's simpatico, you know, you could just stop using the toys for a little bit.
I'm just suggesting to bring the baseline back down so you can start new again and pull in
right with
methods.
This new knowledge, some of it is, you know, working those muscles and concentration and maybe more foreplay with your partner before you start penetration. For me, I know you're saying, I use sex toys a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I can't say that I ever stopped orgasming with men because I was using the toys. Maybe, like I said, if it was like...
That's because you have a voracious appetite.
Yeah, well,
maybe.
Yeah,
it could
maybe
be.
But she's apparently does as well, right? She's having these...
I'm just saying it's just so different for every person.
Yes. So I guess what and if it's different for every person, then it's don't panic. It's, you know, try out different things until you kind of figure out what works for you. But mm-hmm. I would just note my experience is I've been okay. I would say that maybe if I had masturbated that day, it might be harder for me to get there with my partner.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I have always needed good, solid foreplay, which
definitely.
I think sometimes the best way to get into foreplay would be the massage, which, you know, kind of getting yourself into a hypnotic state with your partner. And that thrill and that delicious pleasure, I think, can help you orgasm in a different way than the toy. I mean, for me, when I use my toys, most of the time it's kind of a wham, bam, thank you, man. You know, I don't indulge a lot. I just kind of come.
Right.
Sometimes
it's not enjoying the whole like seduction. It's not like a long build. It's just a
Right.
Is that what you mean?
Yes, exactly. Although since my, I did that pole dancing class and mm-hmm. I kind of learned how to like move my body more seductively and mm-hmm. I find that it can kind of stimulate myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, me too.
So in front of a mirror.
And masturbating.
Yeah.
Masturbating, yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. So playing with like,
oh, I'm hot. I am turning myself on.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll even play like sexy music. Like I really love like FKA Twigs. I don't know if people know what it is.
No.
Oh my God.
Is that that's your masturbation song?
Lately, yeah. Well, that's the singer.
You know what?
FKA Twigs.
Okay. I feel like
it's just sexy and like
I feel like
electronic.
music during sex I love, but music during masturbation to me is a distraction.
It always was. This is kind of a new thing for me.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna try.
I do like candlelight.
But I have to say, since the pole dancing class says pick a song that inspires you,
right,
and dance to this song and find your sexy in it, right? So then
right,
you're
right.
using the rhythm and you're
sure.
using the pacing.
For the dancing.
Right.
To pull you into the sensuality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then I'm sinking into that. And then I sort of play more with taking my time with the toy and kind of teasing myself.
Seducing yourself.
Yeah.
It's self-love. I call it self-love.
It is. Well, I have to say, I never really... I always did it maybe a little bit, but not a lot. And usually it's like, okay, I want to get off, but I want to masturbate so I can go to sleep.
Right. Yeah. Or get in the shower and start my day or like move on. Let's like, you know,
yeah. yeah. Although lately, like there's a porn video I really like and I'll watch it because
mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, that video's fun. I'm like, I'm going to watch it so I can come.
The point of all
time.
Of it. What were we talking about?
Yes. We are. We do need to take a break soon. But the point of it is, I think that there are variations that can be played with. And I would mm-hmm. say it's not like for me, I don't think it is like you should have never opened Pandora's box.
Right. I totally agree.
It's not that.
Right.
It's really exciting. I think that she's discovered her capacity in mm-hmm. a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's about even bringing in your partner
with the toy.
Yeah. And I mean, also. I've played with the toys with my partners. It seems to really turn them on, frankly, like it's fun for them as well if they mm-hmm. get to sort of man the toy or guide it, you know. And I don't see anything wrong with, I mean, using it on your clitoris while he's penetrating you. I mean, that feels amazing. That doesn't need to always happen. And
yeah.
sometimes I love sex without it too, because I love seeing the man get me off as well, right?
Yeah. And I know, I mean, I only share this just because every person is so different, right? And I know for me, and this is a, I don't know if this is a prejudice or just an experience, time will tell, but my hesitation or resistance to toys has been that I feel like I'm such a connection monger, and I feel like the toy for me is a literally this like, you know, non-organic physical like thing that sort of can get in the way sometimes of me connecting. And I don't know. So I guess in terms of when interacting with this girl's partner, I don't know if maybe like there's room to explore what really, like if it's, I don't know.
Fun
like
for him?
Well, fun for him, but also if it's getting in the way with you and your partner or yeah, I mean, but yeah, you need to explore with your partner and see how it's going
to
bring the three of you together.
Well, maybe this is a fun challenge, which is, what about masturbating in front of your partner for him? Show him what
yeah.
you do with it.
Yeah.
You know, and make it a game of like, I want to show you how I make myself come.
Yeah.
And I mean that in a seductive way. And I've had men want that as well. And it's like, it's
yes.
fun.
Yeah. And I think this is great for what you're saying, T, is great for finding new explorations within your sexuality with your partner. But I do also feel like it does sound like there's just some sensory overstimulation happening. And it's just a physical.
You are right.
Part of it is a physical thing of just abstain for a little while and then maybe come back and.
Right. Or I feel like, you know, enjoy the high a little bit and then come off of it when you're not, you know, I don't know. I feel like the addiction passes. I might be wrong, though. You're right. Some decisions to be made, but I think.
Those
but
you're
are
not broken. It'll go back to normal if you, you know.
Yeah. I guess
totally
I'm encouraging growth in the dynamic with the partner in addition to the toy, like just dynamism. And I'm going,
right.
Well, if she can ejaculate and she can have multiple orgasms with these toys, she can do that with her partner as well. So
without a toy?
Yeah. Yes, both. Yeah. He should, you know, it's something to do with the fingers and the way that you
right,
know,
but I guess I'm also
the membrane on the front wall.
Right. But I guess I'm also, and I agree with you, I'm just also saying there may also be the sensory thing too, where yes, you can maybe, she can maybe get to the point where she can have these multiple orgasms with her partner without a toy. However, she may need to bring her body back down to a more baseline level where, so that that's possible. Right now she's in this inert stage, you know, where you've been using your vibrator too much and it's like a hand feels like nothing.
Right.
You know, that's what it sounds like.
Anyway, yes. Yeah.
There's two approaches.
Use I know them both. Right. I think it is both. I just I'm just bringing in that thing of like, cool, like you were orgasming with your partner regularly. Maybe it was a clitoral orgasm or like a one type of orgasm. And
yeah,
and they've technically defined four types of orgasms for women, which is like the clitoral and the internal, then the like seesaw orgasm, which is like both at the same time, and then just the I forget what the other one is.
There's like a cervical orgasm they talk about. The very mythical cervical orgasm.
Yeah, there's like one. Yeah. So the point being that I just see it as like, keep growing. Keep learning more. Don't just say, great, I've got this new sex toy. I guess my partner is no longer fulfilling me. It's like, right. Well, that's not it. It's just you've discovered something new and maybe you need to bring him to your level as well. And that doesn't mean like, hey, get me off with my toy only. It's like, hey, let's play with the toy. Let's play with other maneuvers and, you know, different stimulations. Mm-hmm. Let's play with foreplay.
And also get familiar with your body. And if you feel like you're becoming desensitized, then you know that that's your cue and you back off. And
yeah,
for T, that doesn't happen. For me, it does happen. For you, for everybody else, it's your own threshold. And you just have to be aware.
Yeah, maybe take a pole dancing class. To tap into your sensuality. I was very surprised
There's always room to tap into sensuality.
All right, we're taking a mini break.
And then when we come back, we're going to talk about consent. When is she playing and when does she just mean no? And if you have questions yourself, please email us at advice@tatalksex.com and join the conversation on social media. We love Instagram at tatalksex. And we'll be back.
You're listening to TNA Talk Sex. I'm T.
And I'm A.
Yeah. 100th episode.
Woohoo. Okay.
Latest.
I'm joking.
Question. Okay. Lots of discussion in the news about consent. Wanted your take on softcore submission now on Showtime. So there's a TV show called Submission on Showtime. It's been talked up in some reviews. So I watched a couple episodes. In episode 2, around 18 minutes and 12 seconds, I heard a distinct no, yet action proceeds. What do you think? Should we be having more dialogue about these examples? Have you pushed or been pushed past a first reaction?
I have.
Okay,
yeah.
Wait. Can I?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And yes. And I love it. But don't rate me.
Yeah, well, and sometimes I didn't love it. I wanted to say I did watch the episode specifically.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I'm
so what
be
happened?
Honest, I don't love the show.
It's okay. You don't have to like the show.
there is lots of, it is a softcore show. There's like tons of sex.
Right.
And some of it's poorly acted. Some is better than others. But there's a scene between, I guess, coworkers from a cafe, and they are on a sofa like chit-chatting and having fun and being flirty, and then he tries, I think she's, oh, she says, guys today like are so, you know, like feminine, like they don't take the charge, you know, they're not, you know, manly enough anymore, and then he's like, oh, they're not, you know, and like, and he, you know, leans in for the kiss and takes that kiss, and then she goes, oh no, we've been drinking beers, and I mean, you know, she's like, oh no,
shouldn't.
Yeah, and he's like, why not, and she goes, I've been drinking
you've been drinking
and oh, you know, and I can't now, I think, and then he kisses her again, but she kind of like laughs and then kisses him back, and the, you know, and he leans down onto the sofa and she falls back, and you know, and they go for it.
Right.
So it was interesting because I didn't feel that in that clip she's not resisting. I think she sort of playfully feels shy or is nervous, so she's like, oh no, I don't know, is that a good idea?
Mm-hmm.
like and they don't seem so drunk that they're not coherent, like, mm-hmm. like she's flirting.
Passed out on the ground,
right? That per the news. I think it gave me a little discomfort because that is an issue in our culture of like, yeah. Is she too drunk to make that call? But this episode did not show any lack of coherence. Right. They both had been drinking some and they both seemed flirtatious and joyous about it, which brings us to this topic, which I think there is a lot of nuance that's actually happening in body language and conversation. And I also think I was going to say something about that scene and kind of the her like saying no, but being flirtatious.
Sure. I mean, look, I think if we try to like take that flirtatious no, and that sort of, even if it's nonverbal, if we try to take that out of the whole courtship and flirtation process, I think we're going to be left with a pretty sterile kind of sexual.
Would you like to lay in bed with me? Like, yes. I mean, I hear that can be the
Swedish.
No, but
I need you to say yes. Oh. And I don't know. I'm like, so you're right in that this is going to happen, you know, where like, well, okay, so you and I both have stories of like where we've been like, no. And then uh-huh. we get taken and we love it. And that's what we were really gearing for. Yeah. You know, we were playing that role and it was fun. And
well, can I say this?
But I can see how for a guy that could get confusing if you're trying to be really respectful.
Yeah.
But, well, yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, do you want me to tell my story? You go ahead.
I do. Well, I wanted to note just the beer thing. I think that made me uncomfortable, like I said already, but yeah. Only because I think that is such a sensitive subject right now. And you're like, did she, was she? But
I think there's a big difference between a flirtatious no and a no.
Right.
Like,
oh,
get
sure.
away from me. And so I think it's, and it really is up to the girl to be like.
Well, I wanted to share that once I.
Flirty no or
I
no,
heard,
no.
I had heard that being high during sex, like on marijuana,
is amazing.
Right.
It's amazing. I've done it twice.
Well, exactly.
Only
so
twice.
At the time.
I'm afraid of getting addicted.
I was coming home from work and I was meeting my boyfriend at the time and someone offered me a joint and I was like, I was like, I could get high and then have sex with him. And I don't
with
want
your
him.
Boyfriend.
Yeah. And I don't want him to get high because maybe he won't function as well.
Right.
So I'll just have a few puffs and go and try and have sex with him. And basically I like get in the car with him and he's like, oh my God, are you high? And I was like, yeah, but it's fine. And like, I'm trying to like be flirty. And he's like, I'm not having sex with you.
What?
Yeah. And
why?
He would not have sex with me.
He's your boyfriend, right?
I know,
like a committed boyfriend.
Yes.
Like, it's not like.
Yes. Yes.
But this is the foreigner, right?
No. Oh. No, he's American. He was American. He was I guess his family like African lineage, but like what, you know, went to school in San Francisco and then New York, you know?
That's just uptight.
Yes, uptight, but I felt that maybe there was this little seed of, you know,
I'm not taking advantage of you.
Right, and you're not coherent like maybe he just felt like it was unfair and he wanted to be high too, or you know what I mean, like
I think it's a little extreme
maybe he wanted my focus and I wasn't
maybe
you know
or maybe
connecting.
He didn't understand how joyful the experience can be, that it's not about.
I feel like he'd smoked pot in the past. Anyway, I you know, but I just thought it was a funny moment.
Weird.
Of yeah, it
it's
was
like a control thing. I
it
feel.
Was I think yeah. It is, and it was like, I don't feel like we're on equal footing, so I'm not doing it. But I feel like that ties into this topic a little bit of like
scrunching my face.
I know. I know. I thought it was a funny story, but it like ties into this idea of like, are you consenting because you're high? You know, I don't know.
Oh, come on. But I mean, it's one thing if like I've never met you and I'm high at the bar and I'm like, I don't know.
You're not that.
Look, you're under the influence, okay?
Not,
like, I'm
yeah.
still like functioning and, you know,
right,
a choice is a choice. You can't like.
I mean, I actually had a premeditated thought. I was like,
exactly.
I'm gonna puff this so I can have sex.
Right. So that's like double consent.
I know. It was a tragic failed attempt. So then I learned to, you know, communicate that's the intention and do it together. And then it's amazing.
But consent.
Yes. Back to kind of more nuanced incidents.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I had this experience last night actually with a guy who. Yeah, I mean, it was like where he's you know, holding my head I wasn't going to be having sex with him. We were just sort of, you know, light playing around but we weren't going to have sex. We both knew. He knew that I wasn't going to be having sex with him. But he was holding my head and trying to get me to kiss or do this or that. And I was resistant,
pushing the boundaries a little.
He was pushing the boundaries
you.
A little, yeah, trying
seduce,
to seduce me.
Yeah.
And it was erotic that like his hands were, you know, in a control way, like a, like, you know, like directing my neck or whatever. And it was arousing and I let myself be aroused and it was fun and I liked it. And then, you know, and then I pull away and then he pulls me toward him. And then, but then I'm also, that's the point where I, in my mind, I'm like, okay, well, I for sure don't want this to go any further. So I need to give a more direct signal just to make sure he gets it. This was all like in a nanosecond and super
right. We're super breaking it down.
Right. And so I resist again, but a little bit in a, with a little bit different tone physically. And he got it.
Like you tightened up a little.
I didn't. I just pulled back a little bit further. I made a little bit longer of a break in of like physical connection. Of like a the subtext being
I don't
no.
want to proceed,
like don't, like I'm playing, don't proceed, you know. And yeah. he got it, and that and that, and I was waiting like subconscious, I don't know how subconscious it is since I'm conscious of it, but in the back of my mind, sort of instinctively, I'm waiting to see if he gets that response, and I'm on a little bit of alert to make sure that he does get it. But he got it and it was fine, and I'm like, okay, we're good, you know. But if he didn't get that, and for whatever reason, just because he just was absorbed in stuff or didn't get the clue or whatever, then I would have had to use my words and step back and be like, no, this isn't going that way. So it's
right,
it is nuanced, but
right, I'm surprised at, I feel like, conversations I've had with men who sort of maybe aren't as sensitive to those clues. And I feel like the body language is saying a lot, actually, often. And I think that if there is resistance or she's not leaning into you or, you know, buddying up, like, you know, I feel like I've had moments where I see the guy will make some sort of subtle physical gesture, like he'll brush his finger along my knee or something, or he, right, even like the lower back, and I step aside a little, or I kind of, I seize up a little. I'm like,
it was really unwelcome.
Not cool. And versus like, did she reciprocate at all? You know, like, might I brush back, or might I lean in a little, or you know, I feel like I'm giving body language cues, all the time. That said, one of the stories I got from a guy was, well, there were two different stories. One was he and his girlfriend, he feels like, you know, he wants to kind of play with her more, but she basically said, I like it when you take control. I want you to take control. But he's like, okay, but you said you don't like XYZ. How do I know how to approach? You know, and so he almost feels like he doesn't have complete consent to take control.
Right, because in order to take control, he's like doing what he wants to do.
Right.
But he can't do X, Y, or Z. So it's just you have to think about it. And
Yeah, buzzkill. But the other story was essentially a first time connect hookup, and that she had kind of brushed him away. She said, oh no, and you know, but in that play, like kind of flirty but, you know, demure, like, no thank you, no, and like she brushed him away and then maybe tried again, and she kind of was like, oh no, and moved his hand away, and then I think he took that as a cue that she wasn't interested. And he said that then she messaged him, you know, a few days,
like,
later,
what happened,
yeah, and said, I haven't heard from you, like, I thought that you liked, you know, me and we were having a thing. And he said, I got the hint you didn't want anything.
Yeah.
And she said, oh no, I was playing, I wanted you to be the aggressor. Now I think that's where we start getting that gray area of consent confusion.
Just jump in and say real quick that yeah, I mean, I feel like from my perspective, it's like, as a guy, or yeah, because I'm heterosexual, so I'm going to speak in the language I know. But as the guy, it's like I feel like it's welcome to have and yes, welcome is the right word. It's welcome to have him push and like encourage and push and probe, and it is a matter of really, you really just have to really listen. But I don't think the answer is to not push and probe at all. Like, I don't think that's
right.
A solution.
I feel like you said one too many probes, and that, like, where you're like probe and probe.
Well,
and
probe. No,
I'm
okay,
like, the third one makes me go, oh,
well,
God,
no, but I
have to tell
but
you
it
no.
depends on what the girl is doing. If the girl's like, no, and then you probe again, she's like, no, and then you probe again, and she's like, no, but okay.
Maybe try a different move and see how she responds.
Because it's true that just like that video that's going around about consent, that's a cup of tea. Like, you can change your mind about when you want a cup of tea at any point in time.
Ooh, good point.
Okay. So yeah, like something could change in your mind, or you can go from tipsy to sober in a minute, you know, uh-huh. and you just change your mind. But at that point, then it's like, you know, but the girl's not going to be like, no, no. It's going to be like, No, I don't. Please stop. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like there's very different tonalities of no, like, no, no, versus no, you know, right? Like, yeah, this flirty.
And I would say, like, if there's ever a question, right?
Then back off.
You don't have to, like, run away like this other guy, this other friend of yours had done. But, but you can back off, give it some space, go back to conversation, and just see where the energy lies, you know?
Right.
Just back off the physicality in that moment. You don't have to totally abandon the seduction and the sensuality, but...
That brought up two stories for me. Can I say...
Sure.
So, one is the... I just feel like I've thought a lot about it, and I do feel like... You're right, talking in gender binaries, man, woman, these roles of whoever's sort of the aggressor. The aggressor and the kind of receiver.
Receptive.
I do feel like as the female or the woman, I feel I'm actually often setting the stage for the man to act. So in fact, I've created a space or clues and all these things that sort of allow him to make that move. Lean in and kiss me.
Sure.
To, you know, kiss my neck, whatever.
I mean, that's what the feminine is in that way. We're the receptacle, right? We are the uterus. We're the cervix. But if you look at nature, like, the feminine is that you are creating that physical receptacle for the man to come in.
Right. But so I always like this sort of theatrical idea of, like, I've put the set pieces here. Yeah. I've, like, set the pieces. I've even done a little role playing with you of, like, you know, leading you into this, like, you know, the room with the, you know, chaise lounge and, you know, and now make the move. You know, I mean, this is okay. Yeah, I have a couple stories. I'm like running on, but one of them was my like crush forever, and I basically I was too shy to even tell him I was like coming over. So my friend grabs the phone, writes, "Hey, what are you doing now?"
And this was recently, right?
This was like 2 years ago.
Okay,
now.
Right. So
no, you're, yeah, 2 years ago. I know. I'm still emotionally retarded in that way. Surprisingly, I know. It's like I talk about sex, but then I get like a little squeamish girl.
So cute.
Oh God. Oh, it's so like upsetting. Like to flirtatiously text, I get overwhelmed. I get so nervous. Okay, so
it's true, you do.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, so your friend texted him for you.
Yes, and writes, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "Oh, I'm at my friend's," you know, and she's like, "Well, I want to, you know, can I come over?" And he's like, "To my friend's or my place?" And I think my friend wrote whatever or something. Yeah, she's just like, "Yeah, whatever." So he's like, "Okay, meet me at mine." I get there. I go in. I didn't get what I like to call the heart hug. So I felt insecure. Like, we hugged at the door and I was like, oh, he was kind of tepid. Anyway, he gets me wine. I know. Well, that's what it turned out to be. But he gets me wine. And then I sit there for like hours listening to him talk. And I'm like, oh my God, it's like midnight. Why is he not making a move?
But I think that's because you were being too nervous. Like, you hadn't made
maybe
a move.
But I set the stage.
Well, and you then, thought you set the stage.
Yeah, so apparently I didn't, you know, I missed a few cues, but look, so it goes on both sides.
But maybe,
right?
You did
women
too.
And men they both have that anxiety. I'm like, oh, I set the stage. I'm like, oh, I can't be I'm not gonna make the move. How overt. Like, I felt like I was already being rejected.
Yeah.
And then only through like an honest text message the next day did we like clarify that he was like, I didn't know your intention, like. Anyway.
Okay, so to nip all this drama in the bud.
Yes.
When you're in these situations, honesty is always best.
Yeah, if you have the gumption. In that moment, I didn't,
gumption.
I followed up with it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, call it. Almost like call the cards at the, you know, you're playing a poker game. You're going to call it.
Yeah, and it can be hot, too. It doesn't have to be like, look, what, you know, yes or no.
I'm getting
like
a weird vibe here. Are you going to fuck me or not? Yeah, that's
don't
not
say
a turn
that.
On. That's not a turn on for the guy or the girl. You know what I mean?
No, no.
But I liked your point, A, about, you know, if you're getting an uncertainty vibe, easing up and just being like, well, we've got no rush. We've got the evening. You know, we've got another hour. I'm gonna chill.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe I'll come back in.
Put some music on or just have conversation.
Right. And I also liked your point about seduction, because so the story that came to mind when you were just talking about that is I was driving a young man home from a party, and he was very cute. And I think at the party at some point I I mean, several guys were hitting on me. It was fun.
That's but pretty usual.
Yeah, well, I'm like sitting there and he's standing nearby and I was like, oh, rub my head. So he's like rubbing my hair, you know, at the party. So
and she's purring.
Right, you know. So, right. Everyone's like, oh.
What's going on? So she takes him home.
No, at this point, I think I'm just dropping him off, to be honest. Okay. I was so like, oh, he's cute. We'll reconnect, right? Like maybe we go on a date. But like, yeah, you know, it doesn't need to happen tonight. And, but he, I don't know if he leaned, he kissed me. He kind of before getting out was like, or I think he was like, come in, you know, do you want to come in? I'm like, no, I'm not coming in. And then he's like, and then he kind of dove in for this kiss. And it was a magical kiss, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And you could say like, a kiss isn't going to offend me
mm-hmm.
necessarily. I think I'd already, okay, let me say this. I've already I'm attracted to him.
Right. You'd already had
a flirtation. Yeah. Let me say it's not a cold physical intimacy. Right. So I've
sort of. The vibes were there.
Right. Yeah. I've given him these clues.
You've set the stage.
Pretty clear. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But I wasn't ready to go in. That said, he gave me, you know, he gave me this really passionate kiss. And then he sort of, then we started talking. We mm-hmm. like conversed in the car a bit. And then he's like, you're not going to come in? Are you sure you're not going to come in? And I was like, no. And then I was like, wait a minute. You know, I was like, kiss me again. You know, and then it was like this build up foreplay of like, okay, kiss me. You know, and I think at some point he was like, okay. Is it happening or not? Why don't we go inside? And I was like, and it kind of was this little dance for a little while in the car, but I needed that.
You needed the buildup, the seduction.
The buildup, kind of the reassurance that he was a good lover. To be honest, I feel like no one talks. It's not like I'm consciously going, I need to know you're a good lover. But that's kind of what I'm looking for.
Is it worth my time?
Yeah.
To be honest.
For these clues that he's going to be passionate and focused on me and like that he's really desiring me, you know. And he did show that. It got really exciting. It was fun in the car. And then I was like, okay, yeah, we should go inside. Right, and I did, right? And so that was an evolution of me saying no to yes. But it never felt like coercion from him.
Right
It wasn't like I was so clearly anti the
idea. You were also in control of it in the sense that you were like
I was the driver,
and you were requesting like you were testing the waters again and again, right? And so
I was in a way. I wasn't like, okay, get out of the car. I had this one thought about when a girl is saying no, mm-hmm. and she kind of is doing the hand brush away thing, saying no, mm-hmm. Or even, you know, the story of me in the car. Mm-hmm. I think it might be tied to, it's not her actually saying no, stop the foreplay,
right?
Or no, I don't want to have sex with you. It's actually no, don't progress to that stage yet. I want you to finish this other foreplay, or I need more warm up. To get me to this next level.
Because it's like, no, I'm interested in you and I want to go down this road, but there's like this little bit of hesitation in you for me as a girl going through this experience. And it's like, I don't know. And there's this, I don't know thing.
Yeah.
But you're right. It is this. It's like, I need buttering up.
Yeah. The, I don't know is you haven't like made my siren go off yet.
Right. So it,
and you're close to making my siren go off, but I'm not
seducing. Yeah. Like, well, I don't know, you know, and then if you keep seducing and you're being, and you are seducing me and it's working, then like it transforms, not because I'm weak-willed or anything. It's just because I'm, you're right. It's like, I'm finally getting ready for you.
Yeah. I feel like just now I kind of hatched that in my brain of like, oh, that's what I'm doing.
Yes.
Like it's a relief to now be able to identify that.
We're like, we're coercing you into seducing us.
Yeah. No, totally. And actually, an example came to mind of a guy I, you know, met at a party and I was like, no, it's not going to happen. I don't want to, you know, hook up right away. But then he sort of warmed me up. And then I was like, well, this is fun. But, you know, he went to take my top down or like, you know, play with my breast. And I was like,
too soon.
And so then I kind of like pulled it back on and was like,
yeah, because you know what, it feels like when you go too fast for me as a girl, as a woman, like when it goes too fast, it makes me feel like I'm crossing a boundary within myself that makes me feel it's like it's bad, not bad like wrong, but it's just like it's something's not right here, like I'm outside of my comfort zone.
And that's
like a little bit not dangerous, but I don't like to have sexual interactions outside of my comfort zone.
Yeah, but you're right that it's interesting that you call it outside of the comfort zone because I think...
Because I'm not warmed up yet.
Yeah,
it's
that's what I'm saying.
It's like...
Well, and it feels like I'm not actually getting to enjoy it. It's like,
right,
so also, I'm here for you.
Right, exactly. So my... Yeah, it turns me into an object then because it's not for my pleasure because you're not listening to my cues.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
It's more about you getting what you want and that puts me on the defense.
Right.
This is brilliant. Good job, Julia.
Thank you. God. Oh, it feels so good to have that release of like, that's why I'm sort of doing the cutesy no-no.
That's the
no,
dance.
No.
That's the under, what's happening. Yeah.
Yeah, the cutesy no-no is like, rub my hair, kiss my neck, like really get me hot.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing that comes to mind, too, with this whole consent thing, it's like, well, not only consent, but just in reading body language in general, is that I feel like my sense is that it's just people being too mental. Like, we can process information, like, analytically through our brains. And then there's also, I feel, because I use this all the time in massage and everything, but there's also through your gut and your instinct and your intuition. And reading body cues, yeah, you can read all those articles and it's an analytical thing and you can break it down. But really, the fast way to do it is to really develop that sensitivity in your gut and your instinct, because that's where you're going to get all these like other cues
from her,
from people's communication. It's like using a different brain. So I would recommend doing exercises to really develop that sensitivity. It's also going to make you more sensual and
what are exercises people can do?
Well, honestly, meditation, attention training, but even focusing on beauty, turning your attention to beauty. I think beauty in nature, beauty in music. I would suggest classical music, though, things that are more natural.
Well, nuanced, yeah. Like real instruments.
Right, yeah. Real instruments with vibration that's not vibration. Electro. Uh-huh. And also there's a rhythm in classical music that is, there's all this talk about how it's clued
closer
into
to seduction.
It's like a certain pattern of it mathematically that is more linked to nature. And like, I don't know, I have to look
find
up how to actually describe this. But so that's what I would suggest, like really attuning yourself to beauty and vibration.
Yeah. Well, I think yes, yes. And that allows you to read your partner, especially women, who I think women are often speaking in body language. This might even tap into a little bit of like gender differences, and maybe a guy's like, well, I took her to dinner and she was laughing and smiling and she was into me. I mean, she was you know, but that might not mean she wants to sleep with you that night or right. at that moment, or she likes you but you haven't shown that you're a good lover. How do you do that? I mean, I find the way how you show her is that you're right. attentive, you're paying attention in a physical way, which is picking up on those cues and right. not pushing too much, but
right.
very sweetly affectionate in a way. You know, I feel like these things,
it's very nuanced. And
it's a dance.
Thanks to my career in the industry, I've become a master at reading these nonverbal cues.
I think I just get a kick out of it. So I've always been focused on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's what I would recommend, and not to analyze. I mean,
actually, even dance lessons.
Sure. Yeah.
Can be a real education in physical cues.
Yes. And it's also developing that muscle that like where you have to get out of your head to go to release your body into the flow of the rhythm of the music. And it's not an analytical process. So
right.
you're right. Dance would help too.
Which would allow
even
you to
iPod dancing in your living room if you really
aren't ready to go to
class.
But the class is a partner that you're literally feel you can feel when they resist or don't know how to move next or don't like what you're doing, right? Like all these things.
And honestly, because I dance Argentine tango, tango is really great for that because you're not watching each other, because you're the embrace
the
is so close for close embrace tango. Salsa, you can look at each other and you can get more mentally involved. But tango for sure is great for that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my suggestion.
No, I think it's great. You know, so I think consent can be nebulous, but not at the same time if you take all these things into account.
Yeah. Yeah.
On that note, I think that's it for today. That's our Ask TNA episode.
That is it. So we do the Ask TNA episodes the end of every month right now. So if you have a question, go ahead and email us at advice@tatalksex.com. And if you want to join the conversation with us on social media, we're at TA Talk Sex everywhere.
On Instagram.
Yeah. We like Instagram, but we everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And happy 100th, everybody.
I know.
Yay!
Thank you for listening.
Yes, thanks for listening. And we look forward to bringing you more shows and great content down
continue
the road.
On into the horizon. Yeah. Episode 200, here we come.
Woo!
You're listening to TNA Talk Sex. I'm T.
And I'm A.